Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Thank you for this preparing a celebration. Actually, the aim of Krishna consciousness, as Srila Rupa Goswami has explained to us, and couldn't have to take too many pictures. It's a Marta Vyapsaratam Vishnura Vismarta Chatuna Kinchit Sarva Vidi Nisaidya Svior Apiya Eva Kinkara. That all the rules and regulations always help us remember Krishna and never forget Him. Perfection of Krishna consciousness can be if one can simply think about Krishna in devotion, of course. Therefore, when Krishna says, Maya asapta manat parata, that just fix your mind upon me, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and engage all your... Actually, that's a different verse. Maya shaktimanat parta yogam yunjan manashaya asam shayam samagramam yatagya sisi tats finu. Now hear from me, O Sena Pritha, how by practicing yoga in full consciousness of me, with mind attached to me, you can know me in full, free from doubt. So somehow or another, if we can think of Krishna, then our life is perfect. Because to think about Krishna means to actually associate with Krishna. There's no difference between the deity of Krishna on the altar and the deity of Krishna within our mind. Not that we create the deity within our mind, but Krishna can appear within the mind. And we'll be able to realize Krishna in proportion to our devotion. Krishna may even appear within our mind, but that doesn't mean we'll actually experience Krishna as He actually is. Of course, no, probably only Srimati Radharani can actually tell us exactly how Krishna really is. And even Krishna is finding out Himself what He's really like in relation to His devotees. But we can find out something about Krishna in proportion to our devotion to Him, our feelings of love. Of course, if we don't think about Krishna, then there's no question of loving Krishna. You can't love someone that you're not even conscious of. So, Krishna says, first of all, we have to think about Him, maya sakta manat parta. And this asakta, this constant thinking about Krishna, can only be there if the emotion is very intense, especially the emotion of love. So the nice thing about Krishna is that Krishna is absolutely lovable. As Krishna is absolute, so He's also absolutely attractive. Therefore He's given the name of Krishna. That Krishna can reciprocate exactly with us according to how we want to approach Him. So this celebration, as all our celebrations, they center around Krishna, because Krishna is ultimately the supreme worshipful person, that everyone has a relationship with Him. And because everyone has a relationship with Him, those who can revive or help us come back to our relationship with Krishna, they become worshipable to us in proportion to the amount of help they can give us in trying to bring us back to Krishna. Actually, only Krishna can bring us back to Krishna, but we have to want to go back to Krishna. But the spiritual master, because that's what this celebration is about, he's supposed to be a representative of Krishna. Of course, Prabhupada, he always says, he's not Krishna. Only Krishna is Krishna. But Prabhupada gives the example that in India, when they would have a viceroy. So the viceroy, he'd dress up a little bit like the king. He'd have the same ornaments. He'd be given the same respect. Although he was an ordinary person, but still, because he was representative of the king, therefore he'd be given the same respect as a king. So similarly, one who's giving the message of Krishna, he's given respect, not for his sake, but for our sake. Because in order to fix the mind upon Krishna, first of all, we have to hear. Therefore, Krishna says, touch, renew. We have to hear. But we can't hear from anyone unless we have some respect for them. We have to choose someone and give them, whoever we naturally have respect for, Mahajano Yena Kata Sapanja, Tarko Apratishta Shutiya Vibina, Nasavari Shir Yasyana Vibina, Nitam Nabina, Dharmasya Tadvam Nihitam Dohaya, Mahajano Yena Kata Sapanja. That we may argue who has the best intelligence. We may debate, but that doesn't really mean we're going to follow the person. Even they may seem to have better intelligence than we have. It doesn't mean we'll actually follow them, especially in Kali Yuga. Maybe previously, if there was a great scholar and he debated with other scholars, out of etiquette at least, people would surrender to them. But in this age, we don't surrender to anyone. And Shrutaya Vibina, there are so many books. For us, Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam of scripture. For other people, Life magazine, I don't know if it's still existing or not, Time magazine, that's also what they're basing their lives on. And other such literatures. So there are so many books, so no one can really decide exactly which book to follow. Or some people may decide to follow some book. Like say we decide to follow Bhagavad Gita. So there are so many Bhagavad Gitas, so many different commentaries, and even in our line there are so many commentaries by the Acharyas, and even if we accept Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita, then we may pick out what's important to us within Bhagavad Gita and say that's actually significant. And even we may agree on the same verse, but probably we'll disagree exactly what the verse means, or what's important about it, which part is actually important in the verse. Therefore, just by quoting Shastra, we won't get very far. Just by quoting Shastra, just by argument. And there may be so many personalities, they've demonstrated Shastra, they've demonstrated what is the truth in their lives, but we may disagree exactly who's more elevated than someone else, exactly who's worthy of being followed themselves. Therefore, everyone, Mahajana Yena Kata Sapanta, everyone naturally is attracted by a personality or personalities, and therefore they try to find out how that person has reached a certain position, either in the material world or in the spiritual world. Just like Narada Muni, he was looking for the greatest devotee. So first he was by a gathering in India at a place. Where was that place where they had the Kumbh Mela? Allahabad. I think it was Allahabad. He was in Allahabad and one Brahmin came and he was worshipping Krishna in a very elaborate way with great devotion and he was respected. So Narada Muni said, oh, you must be the greatest devotee. So he said, actually, I'm not the greatest devotee. I'm just going to live here for a very short period of time. I have very limited opulence in which to worship the Lord. You know, I'm doing it for so many other reasons. The real great devotees of Jagannath Puri. You go there, you can actually see a king there. He's actually worshiping Lord Jagannath with great opulence. So to make a long story short, he went to Jagannath Puri and began to worship. He saw that this king indeed, with great opulence, is worshiping Lord Jagannath and serving the devotees and the saints who are coming there. But still, the king said, I'm actually not such a great devotee because I'm only going to live here for a very short period of time. My opulence is very limited. You should go and see Lord Indra. He's going to live for a whole day of Manvantara, a whole life of Manvantara. And he has rather unlimited opulence in which to worship Krishna. That Krishna himself is Vamadeva, personally comes and takes things from his hands and accepts his offering. So he went to see Lord Indra. Narada Muni went to see Lord Indra. And Indra said, "Oh, this is ridiculous. I'm not a great devotee. Because, you know, just think of all the offenses I've committed. I tried to attack Vrindavan. Krishna came to get a flower, and I my whole army opposed him just to get some flower or tree. So what kind of devotee am I? I'm a great offender." He said, "Actually, Vamanadeva comes here because his mother told him to come here. Otherwise, he never would have come." He said, "He takes my offerings and just leaves." He said, "What kind of devotee am I? I just live for one day, you know, one lifetime of Manvantara, which is nothing." He said, "If you really want to meet a great devotee, then you should go to Brahmaloka. There, Brahma's worship, you know, he's actually the Purusha, the Mahapurusha, that he lives on Brahma's planet. And with his thousands of heads and thousands of hands, he accepts the offerings. So, and Brahma lives for 311,040,000,000,000 years. You should go there. He's actually a great devotee." So he went to see Brahma, and Brahma said, "This is ridiculous." When Narada Muni was glorifying him, he said, "What kind of devotee am I? I stole his cows." He comes on the planet, and he's like, "I steal his cows. What kind of devotee is that?" He said that the Mahapurusha, he comes here for, you know, a while, but then he disappears also. He keeps on merging into incarnations and disappearing from here. No one really knows where he is. Whether he's in Swayta Dweep, or he's on the Milk Ocean, or, you know, whether he's in Vrindavan. He said, "I'm just worshiping Krishna because I want liberation. If you really want to meet a real devotee, then go see Shiva." That he's always glorifying Krishna, Krishna is always in his heart, etc. That Krishna is always worshiping, even Krishna himself personally worships Shiva. So then he went to see Lord Shiva, and Shiva said, "What kind of ridiculous nonsense is this? I'm not even a devotee." He said, "You know, as soon as Krishna came, then immediately I got into a fight with him over one of my devotees." He said that Krishna, he worshipped me when he was, you know, as Lord Ramachandra, but he was embarrassed. He said, "Actually, you know, actually I'm not even worthy of worship, but Krishna, just to show that he's supposed to be worshipping his devotee, worship me." But immediately, this is the same person he was worshipping was the one who empowered Ravana to go and fight against him. He said, "I'm actually not even a devotee. If you really want to meet a real devotee, go see Prahlad." That Lord Krishna personally came and touched Prahlad and hugged him and caressed him just like a mother, licked his whole body. And when all the other demigods and Lakshmi Devi herself was there, that he completely ignored them and simply took care of Prahlad. So then he went to see Prahlad, and Prahlad said, "This is ridiculous." He said, I'm just a completely new devotee. Just Krishna did this just to demonstrate. You know, he appeared just like for a moment, like a dream. But, you know, then he disappeared. I never even see him. He said, "I just try and see him with my heart all the time. Besides that, he put me on this planet, in the Sutala planet, you know. And here, I never get a chance to see the Lord." He said, "If you really want to see a real devotee, then go see the Pandavas." So, of course, you know, he went to see the Pandavas, and Pandavas, you know, the Pandavas who always have Krishna's association. Prahlad was glorifying them. But when he saw the Pandavas, of course they told him, "Actually, we're not even, you know, hardly devotees. Because Krishna may have come here, you know, he may be posing as our friend, but, and acting as Arjuna's chariot driver or subservient. But this is all part of his pastimes, you know, in this material world. And, you know, hardly we ever see Krishna. He's always coming and going. He's always, if you really want to see his real relationships, you can, where he's always with his devotees, you should go and see the Yadavas." So he went to see the Yadavas, and they gave him the same thing that, you know, Krishna, he's here, we only formally worship him. But even when he's here, he's always thinking of the gopis in Vrindavan. He's hardly ever, and he's here, but he's not really here. He's actually in Vrindavan. So if you really want to find the real devotees, you should go and see the gopis. So he went to see the gopis, and of course they told him the real story. We're not even devotees. That Krishna is here, he seems to have pastimes with us, but then he leaves us without even saying anything. He just gets up and leaves one day. So, you know, what kind of attachment does he have for us? So in this way, the devotees who are always meditating on Krishna, they realize that Krishna is so great and he's so wonderful that none of them have the idea that they're actually very great. They're thinking Krishna is great and we're actually insignificant. Just like Haridasa Thakur, when he wanted to pass away, then he asked Lord Chaitanya to come and be personally present. So Haridasa Thakur is an incarnation of Lord Brahma. He was chanting something like 198 rounds a day. He was Namacharya. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that you should not pass away because then I'll feel great separation from you. So Haridasa Thakur said, but I'm just like an insignificant devotee of yours. You have so many unlimited devotees that if an ant passes away in this world, then who's going to lament over it? If you don't find, you know, in the newspaper, you know, Mr. So-and-so ant in the third colony down the road passed away today. There was a funeral held by his fellow ants and many people came and mourned over the ant. If an insignificant ant leaves this world, then who actually cares? There are so many ants coming and going. So similarly, no one should think themselves very important, because whether it's an ant or whether it's a Lord Brahma, all of us, we're 1/10,000th the size of Tipu Hera in size, we're all expansions, angsa of Krishna, but there are so many angsas of Krishna. There are so many particles of Krishna. That as soon as one thinks himself very important, then immediately there's no question of Krishna consciousness. This thinking oneself very important is only possible in material consciousness, in this material world. And wherever there is a material world, there's no Krishna, at least not for the person who is in that consciousness. So in the spiritual world, even Srimati Radharani, she's thinking herself to be insignificant. The pleasure potency herself, Ladini Shakti, she's thinking herself to be an insignificant servant of Krishna. And Krishna himself, he thinks himself to be insignificant. So if God himself thinks himself significant, and we think ourselves very significant, then we're in the wrong place. So Krishna thinks his devotees are very significant, but he's actually very insignificant. He thinks that, anyhow, there are so many ways that somehow or another Krishna can understand these things. That by Yogamaya in Vrindavan, Krishna thinks he's just one of the crowd. He doesn't think he's God there. And that's his original form, and that's where he enjoys the most, in his original position as Krishna in Vrindavan. So certainly that's what we're trying to come to that platform. It is not very good to think oneself, I'm becoming more and more significant in any sense of the word. As soon as we think like that, then we become more and more insignificant. If that's possible. Very insignificant, so. To think ourselves become more insignificant can actually make us less significant. But if we want to become significant, the significance that we have is to become a better servant of Krishna. Because at least Krishna thinks ourselves to be significant. Although Krishna is unlimited, he has unlimited opulence, he has unlimited devotees, but he's so unlimitedly nice that each one of his devotees he takes is very significant. So how he can do that is because he's God. It's easier when you're God, so it's more difficult when you're not. There's no problem for Krishna to do these things. Therefore we worship the spiritual master, not with the idea that simply it's a fan club, but the actual idea of worshiping the spiritual master is so that we can actually come to the platform of hearing about Krishna. Spiritual master, whether it's Diksha Guru or Shiksha Guru, any devotee, is someone who can tell us something about our relationship with Krishna, and someone, at least in our mind, that will be willing to listen in such a way as we'll be able to become enthusiastic to follow the advice of the instruction. That as soon as we become determined to serve Krishna, then didami buddhi yogam dham. Then Krishna within our heart will give us the intelligence how to do it. And as soon as we, well, it's not as soon as, that's what we want. We're already in the material world. We have some now inspiration to serve Krishna, and we have a long history of inspiration to serve different parts of the material energy. So due to our conditioned life, we never know exactly what material inspiration or aspiration will suddenly surge within our heart that we didn't even know was there. It's not that now I feel very enthusiastic, it means that now my conditioned life is gone. Actually, we'll know our conditioned life is gone when we're not here anymore. Not that our body may be here, but when we're actually in the spiritual world, in our spiritual identity, then we won't have anything to fear anymore. Although in that state, that's when one actually becomes very humble, because one can actually understand what this material world is and how fearful it is to be here. Right now, we're not so much concerned. Or not as concerned as we should be. But when we're actually in our transcendental body, in our Swarup city, in the spiritual world, rendering ecstatic loving service to Krishna eternally, then we'll know that we're actually beyond the modes of material nature. But in the meantime, we have to go on with our devotional service, and in spite of whatever inspiration or whatever anarthas we may have, or whatever faults we may have, or even deviations that we may have sometime, we have to go on and then try to cultivate devotion to Krishna. So these, at any time, yogas chalati manasa, Maya is always trying to allure us. She's already allured us, otherwise we wouldn't be here in the first place. And so many different thoughts come through our minds. We have probably an opinion about everything and everyone, either good or bad, up or down. So this like and dislike, whatever it is, I want this, I don't want that. So many things may come and go within our mind. We may strive for this or that. But in the midst of that, one has to somehow or another try to understand things properly so that we can actually come to the real platform of Krishna consciousness. We shouldn't become lazy, or we shouldn't become proud. We shouldn't become so many different things, but we should become Krishna conscious. Therefore, we are taught how to give honor to the devotees. So I personally can't say that I'm in the spiritual world with Krishna, but at least I've understood a little bit. At least I've understood that we're supposed to talk about Krishna, and that Krishna is the goal of life, and that this process that Prabhupada has given us is actually the best process of how to achieve it. And that Krishna is within everyone's heart, and if we try to serve him, then he will give us the intelligence by which we'll be able to make progress, so that gradually we can come to the spiritual platform, and we can learn how to stay there. It's not very, in one sense, due to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, it's not difficult in this age to come to the spiritual platform. It's difficult to stay there. Due to the mercy of the holy name, we may get some, or we may get immediately an understanding that there is some existence beyond material consciousness. Anyone who chants the Hare Krishna for a little while, by going to how sincerely they've served or what they've done in their past lifetimes, may get some special mercy and actually feel spiritual pleasure and enlightenment. But then it's not that Maya says, congratulations, you've got a little spiritual pleasure and enlightenment, you're free. Now Maya will say, you nonsense. Now that you've been empowered, you're to be the greatest. Go and become the greatest now that you've achieved enlightenment. And then Maya will kick us, and then we'll realize I'm not enlightened, and then we'll think, well, let me try once more for Krishna consciousness. So Maya will help us every step of the way by kicking us, and Krishna will try to encourage us every step of the way by trying to telling us what the process by which we can get real mercy is. The only difficulty is that if we are not very enthusiastic, not very serious, we don't realize how we have to stay and stick to the process of Krishna consciousness in spite of whatever our minds and senses are demanding us to do. Therefore, we have to choose someone. Of course, we have to choose someone to follow them, and that person we choose to follow should be a person who can encourage us and give us the inspiration to follow others. There is nothing but Krishna. That means that everything we see around us is actually Krishna and Krishna's energies. One of his energies are all the living entities. So as we sing in that prayer, that when will I get the power to honor all living entities? So it's not that our love, we want to restrict it. When we actually expand our love to Krishna, that means that we not only love the deity in the temple, who certainly is the most lovable, but also we learn how to expand our love to all living entities in this world. And we learn how to properly show our love to them in different ways. And especially for the devotees who are engaged in Krishna service, we have to learn how to reciprocate with them in such a way is that we actually realize they're devotees. And for the innocent people, that we have to realize that they're potentially devotees. And for those who are not innocent, who are actually against Krishna, we have to avoid their association, because otherwise we won't be able to help them and we won't be able to help ourselves either. So this, especially amongst the devotees, if we give someone some credit, some honor, it's because they can help us realize how to come to the second class platform of devotional service. Either by their example or by their instructions. But somehow or another, the essence of that is simply we have to become devotees of the devotees of Krishna. Gopi, Bharati, Pada, Kamalayar, Dasa, Dasa, Anudasa. So that's the very essence, that service attitude, actually becoming a devotee of the devotees, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said. And that means practical service to the devotees. Of course, serving the devotees, Prabhupada has also shown, will be most possible when we actually serve the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted that as many people as possible, or that everyone gets the opportunity to become a devotee of Krishna and a devotee of Krishna's devotees. Therefore, the Sankirtan movement is specifically to engage with the devotees and to create devotees simultaneously. So we want to do both. Not that people who come here, they're devotees. As long as they're physically living in the temple, they're divine. And as soon as they move out, who knows what kind of person they really were. Who knows where they actually came from. But we want to develop a transcendental vision so that Krishna is not only in the temple, but he's actually in the hearts of all living entities, and that we are able to reciprocate with them at least on the level of second-class devotee. Second-class devotee means that we begin to actually understand what the process of devotional service is so that our life becomes more enlightening and enthusing. Material life means it's becoming more bewildering and more discouraging. Sometimes people may be encouraged in their material life for a little while. They may be seemingly enlightened, but after some time they'll become automatically discouraged by the workings of the material nature, and they'll become bewildered. But spiritual life means always more enlightening, always more encouraging. So Prabhupada said, Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma Nishoshiti Nakanshati. Actually Krishna said that. But if you, Prabhupada said that devotional service means to always be jolly, to be joyful. So the reason why we're not jolly and joyful is because we're attached to our material conceptions. So to detach us from our material conceptions, therefore this is the process of sadhana bhakti. Our material conceptions can automatically be eliminated if Krishna is there. But Krishna may not be there so easily. Therefore we have to prepare the ground so Krishna can be there. We have to prepare our hearts so Krishna can be there. And the best way of preparing our hearts is by, Rupa Goswami says, Tadati prati grinati guyamati ti prichati
Offering gifts in charity, accepting charitable gifts, revealing one's mind in confidence, and inquiring confidentially. Offering prasad, accepting prasad. These are the six symptoms of love shared by one devotee to another. So how to share these loving exchanges with the devotees? That also requires some instruction, so we don't become disappointed in the loving exchanges. We have to know who to give loving our love to in devotional service, our service attitude, so that it can actually go on steadily developing. In any case, any love given to the devotee without personal motivation being offered to Krishna, then Krishna will reciprocate. That these six processes of loving exchanges between the devotees are always auspicious, although sometimes later on people may... Like Prabhupada was asked, how to become enthusiastic? So Prabhupada just be enthusiastic. How to give love to the devotees, how to exchange loving feelings with the devotees, then just do it. It's not like we're a dead stone, you have to learn, teach the dead stone how to become alive. Class 101 for the dead stone. That everyone has love, everyone has the propensity to love someone, that we should learn how to give that loving feeling in Krishna consciousness. And as soon as we do that, that is what we're actually looking for. If we're looking for something else, then that's something else we may or may not get. If we're actually giving our love to the devotees and to Krishna without any personal motivation, then Krishna says, Tadami Buddhi Yogam Tam. I'll give you the intelligence how to get more of that. Just like a materialist, when he becomes successful, then he wants more and more success. So a devotee, when he actually experiences a higher taste in Krishna consciousness, then the devotee wants more and more of that higher taste. And Krishna says, Tadami Buddhi Yogam Tam. That the spiritual world is quite simple. Everyone there simply loves everyone. Especially they love Krishna. And since Krishna loves everyone and Krishna is most pleased, when his devotees are pleased, everyone tries to please the devotees to please Krishna. Of course, everyone's trying to please Krishna. So that's it. That's the spiritual world. There's no big other thing going on there. It's not that they're trying to figure out how to build the biggest skyscraper there or how to become, you know, get a big degree there. Everyone has only one thought, what's pleasing to Krishna. So with that in mind, those who are devotees, life becomes very simple. You don't have to worry about whether I'm right and they're wrong. All we just have to figure out is what's pleasing to Krishna. And if we do that to please Krishna, then that, whatever we did was perfect. And anything we do besides that, if it's not meant to please Krishna, we may be perfectly right, but actually we're perfectly wrong. Just like if you're driving your car down the street and someone turns, crashes into you and you die, you may have been perfectly right, but you're dead. You're dead right. So somehow or another, if we can put Krishna in the center, then our life becomes perfect. So all these, there's a culture of Krishna consciousness. That culture, we did an event. That culture is eternal. It's manifested by Krishna in this material world. It's given to us as a culture in the simple succession that you're supposed to choose someone as guru. Or you have to worship someone. Because without that, as I said at the beginning, without giving some respect, without giving some honor, then there's no question of hearing from the person. And unless we hear from the person, we won't find... number one, we won't be able to experience Krishna instead of talking about Krishna. And number two, we want to find out how to experience Krishna more, because that's what our objective is. So our goal is Krishna Loka. Krishna Loka is not an imaginary place. We can experience it even here. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakura, he experienced Goloka simply when he was in his house. It turned into the river Ganges. And worshipping the Tulsi plant, he felt unlimited happiness. So that Vaikuntha atmosphere we can create here simply by our trying to do it. It's not that the spiritual world is very far away. it's Gokul. Krishna manifested 5,000 years ago on this planet, Vrindavan. And that same Vrindavan's here simply by the service attitude. That none of us are actually in the material world, we're just imagining that we are. We're all situated transcendentally, and as soon as we act transcendental, then we'll realize that we are transcendental. And as soon when we're not acting transcendental, then we'll be mistakenly thinking we're in the material world. Because this is the material world. This is not actually where we're situated. It's like oil and water never mix together. So we never become material. We only think we have. So we're all transcendentalists. All living entities by nature are transcendentalists. Nitya Siddha, Krishna Prema, Sada Kavanoi, Shravanadi, Shuddha Chite, Shravanayu, Karyayu Doi. That love for Krishna is there, it's natural within everyone's heart, simply by following his culture, that if we do it in such a way that it's pleasing to Krishna, then Krishna will be very happy to appear within our heart, and we'll be able to realize Krishna. So this culture of giving respect to someone, if they're talking about Krishna, generally people give respect if the person has great material intelligence, they're going to teach us how to become very, make millions of dollars. If someone's giving a conference here, how to become a millionaire, people all over the neighborhood come to hear and offer him some respect, or at least pay the admissions fee. If they actually had faith that this person can help them make $1 million, if someone is giving a lecture on, that all of us can become God in a week, then people give, if they actually had some respect for the person, some faith, then people would actually become inspired to go and hear from the person. And here, someone's talking about that we're all insignificant, and that there's a person who's unlimitedly significant, and if we love him, then we can actually become happy. People think, what a waste of time. This person has missed the purpose of life. He wants to become a servant. He doesn't realize what we're all here for. We're supposed to become the master here. But those who actually have an interest, then Krishna arranges it. So many devotees, we're Parash Param, we're amongst ourselves. We're talking about how nice Krishna is and how nice Krishna's associates are, how nice it is to serve them, and how horrible it is not to do that. All the problems we'll get if we don't do it. So those two things have to go along side by side. And if we take it up and enthusiastically take up the process, then we'll be able to make very nice progress in devotional service. The process is so simple. All we do is have to chant Hare Krishna and be happy. But we've been morose for so long. We don't even know what happiness is. We're afraid of becoming too happy. What's going to happen to us? As soon as we try and chant Hare Krishna and be happy, then Maya will say, wait a second. You don't deserve to be happy. Then we start worrying about why. Either we'll become attracted by Maya's influence and say, why? Because, you have so many problems you got to take care of. You got so many things you got to do. You got to worry about this and that and this other thing. You don't have time to be happy. Therefore, it takes a while to learn how to be happy. So Krishna will try to encourage us. If we chant Hare Krishna with a little love, a little feeling, and he'll try to reciprocate with us as much as he can. Krishna's devotees will. And gradually we'll learn the process of how to become joyful. To give up all our anxieties, to give up all the activities that cause us unneedful anxiety. And even when we're in anxiety, we'll realize that it's a waste of time being in anxiety. Better off just chanting Hare Krishna and be happy. So this takes some time. We have a lot of things to learn. But Krishna is very nice. He's very patient. He's been trying to teach this to us since time immemorial. So we've gotten this far. So he's very happy we've come this far. So I'm sure if we just stick to the process, he'll be happy to take us all the way. We shouldn't become discouraged thinking, well, Krishna must be really disappointed with me. It's been 3 weeks and I haven't become a pure devotee yet. or you know, only Prabhupada can become a pure devotee. You know, so we worship Prabhupada, but you know, we have our other lives to lead. We have something else to do also. No, actually Prabhupada came because Prabhupada is not the only resident of the spiritual world. There are unlimited residents there too. And Krishna has a plan to get us all back to the spiritual world individually. And he himself says, Vitaraga Vaya Krodha Manmayama Upashitya Bahava Gyana Tapasa Putamabhavam Agata. Being free from attachment, from fear and from anger, being fully absorbed in me and taking refuge in me, many, many persons in the past became purified by knowledge of me, and thus they all developed transcendental love for me. So the reason why we don't see so many liberated persons in the material world is because they're not in the material world anymore. If you walk down the street, you saw a whole bunch of liberated persons, you wonder, you know, what happens to a liberated person? Because they all went back to the spiritual world. So long after we're back to the spiritual world, you're wondering, you know, where are the liberated persons? So many persons in the past, just like ourselves, they went back to the spiritual world and they're enjoying their transcendental loving reciprocations with Krishna, which is growing at every moment. So long after we're back to the spiritual world, people will speculate whether it's possible to go back to the spiritual world or not. So we should try. Fortunately, we're in Kali Yuga, so if we don't try, Maya will give us every inspiration to try harder. But in this age, there's not too much room to space out. So we should try the best we can, and if it's not the best we can, then Maya will try and make it a little bit better. And if not, then we'll, you know. Anyhow, Krishna is very expert. As long as we have a little desire, a little inspiration, go back, he'll help us in every respect. So thank you for listening. So again, just to summarize. So whoever we're worshiping, because here in our society, for instance, we have so many persons who are designated as spiritual masters. But actually, those who are designated as spiritual masters, their main service is to teach the devotees how to worship all the other devotees, how to give proper respect to all the other devotees. Otherwise, their position won't be very helpful for themselves or for anyone else. Because the spiritual master is not an eternal position. Actually, the spiritual master has probably said, he always thinks himself to be the servant of the other devotees. He never thinks, I'm finally made it. I'm a spiritual master. No, the very word in English, spiritual master, spiritual means that we're all servants of Krishna and the devotees. So one who becomes a master doing that, he becomes the best servant. So the spiritual master simply thinks himself to be the servant of Krishna and the devotees. Therefore he thinks himself to be the servant of all the devotees, including those who are thinking himself themselves to be disciples, he's thinking, I'm their servant also. Of course, that doesn't mean this disciple thinks, well, that's great, but I got a spiritual master. He's my servant. No one else wants to be my servant. So now, if, you know, my foot itches, I can probably say, I can call the spiritual master over and say, hey, servant, can you scratch my foot? Yes, sir. Being a servant may manifest itself in different ways. Prabhupada was the most expert servant. Therefore, he knew how to be a master on behalf of his spiritual master. He knew how to be the best servant. So that may manifest itself in different ways. According to etiquette, one should not take the position or the role of the master to the spiritual master. One has to remain in the service attitude. But the spiritual master has to consider himself the servant of his spiritual master always. It's not that after the spiritual master leaves his body, then the relationship is broken. It's like someone asked that question today. So we think that after my spiritual master leaves his body, then the relationship is broken. Now I'm free. I can do whatever I want. he left and now I've become the master. No, the disciple always eternally considers himself the servant of his spiritual master. He always considers himself to be the servant of the spiritual master's instructions. Therefore, on behalf of his spiritual master, he may sometimes accept a role of being a spiritual master. But as soon as he thinks himself to be the master of anything in this world, then at once he is fallen. So he always has to keep the role of being a servant of his spiritual master, and through his spiritual master being a servant of the disciple succession, and by their mercy and the mercy of the super soul within the heart, know how to serve the other devotees, including his disciples. So anyone in the spiritual, in this material world, everyone is a servant, and that's what of Krishna, and we have to learn that somehow or another. So part of that learning how to become a servant of Krishna sometimes means to take a role which is a little tricky, because in this material world everyone is trying to become a master. As I gave the example before, we probably gave it many times, that one person, Mr. Patel, was walking down the street, but he had many enemies. So his enemies were always telling him, well, they got together one day and they decided that we're going to trick Mr. Patel, drive him crazy, because they didn't like him. So they all decided that whenever they saw Mr. Patel, they would just say that he had become a ghost. So one of them, they met Mr. Patel in the street and said, Mr. Patel, what happened to you? You've become a ghost. Mr. Patel said, what? I became a what? A ghost. You're a ghost. I said, that's crazy. I'm not a ghost. Then he walked a little further and one of his other enemies met him and said, Mr. Patel, what happened? You've turned like into a ghost. You're not there anymore. I said, a ghost? That's crazy. I'm not a ghost. And then the third person met him and said, Mr. Patel, you're a ghost. You've become a ghost. He said, I've become a what? A ghost. So he said, well, this is the third person in a row. What happened to me? I may have become a ghost. And then it happened again, walking down the street. And he said, oh no, I've become a ghost. So the danger of taking the role of a spiritual master, especially if you have too many disciples, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given us, or as Rupa Goswami explains in the Nectar of Devotion, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, that one should not accept too many disciples. One of the reasons is that if you keep on hearing, oh, you're the Lord, you're the Lord, after a while you think, wow, everyone thinks I'm the Lord. Especially if you don't go out in the street once in a while and find out that not everyone thinks you're the Lord. Therefore, as it says there in the same purport, that one should not accept too many disciples, unless one is a preacher. Because if you're a preacher, you'll find out that not everyone thinks you're the Lord. Even Prabhupada, when he was preaching, he met a lot of opposition. In any case, ISKCON is very nice, in the sense that if you travel around, that there are so many spiritual masters, there are so many devotees, elevated devotees within our society, so many different relationships, and that hopefully all the relationships are meant to keep us in the humble service attitude. And if the relationships in ISKCON don't work, of course, just go out and preach to the persons in this material world, and you'll find out that most people are not in the devotional attitude. In any case, somehow or another, whatever our position is, we have to develop that service attitude towards Krishna, service attitude towards his devotees, and the result is that we'll become free from anxiety, we'll be able to chant Hare Krishna happily. If we don't develop the service attitude, then we'll always be in anxiety, we'll always try and figure out how to chant Hare Krishna happily.